I have a couple of questions for us to contemplate as we have enjoyed that lovely bit of music and scripture, some things to sort of let some things sink in. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Is that a good question? It depends who you ask, doesn't it? If you ask the historian, he will say it's the birth of a famous person that we're celebrating. If you ask the secularist, they will tell you it has to do with the winter solstice and the celebration of the birth of Mithra, the Roman deity back years ago. And, of course, the Bishop of Rome came along and said we need to celebrate something a little more positive, so they put in celebrating the birth of Christ instead. And so they essentially Christianized a pagan holiday, and that's kind of how that came about in terms of that element of it. If you ask the economist, what will he say? He will say it is so that we can survive the year. It's critical. It's the big event of the year. If you ask the theologian, you get a little bit of a different picture. It's something about incarnation. Incarnation, the first step toward the provision of salvation. But then the question, why do we celebrate Christmas as we do? It varies from person to person, doesn't it? From family to family, according to culture, different places, parts of the world, it can vary a lot. But a large part of it has to do with our memories, our experiences, those things that have been a part of our experience over the years. And as time passes, we continue to heap up more traditions and options, and we have this cumulative effect where you have something like St. Nicholas, who was a 4th century saint or bishop, who was celebrated for his giving of gifts, and then this was carried over and picked up in the Netherlands with Sinterklaas, and then when the Dutch came over to America, they brought it over and sort of Americanized it to Santa Claus, and then it was popularized even more with the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and an illustrator showed the picture of what this individual would have looked like, and then Coca-Cola had an advertisement that showed this person in a red suit, and that caught on. So it was just interesting how those things accumulate over time. And so we tend to build on our traditions, and that is a part of the way things seem to go. And it's not surprising that things have changed over time. But without memories, we would not celebrate anything of the past. Some of us have a hard time with that anyway, because we wouldn't be able to. Just think about the incredible importance of memory. With the advent of the computer, of course, it's pretty significant. We never seem to have enough of it. First, we thought it was pretty cool that we could do kilobytes. Wow. Or even bytes, for that matter. But then megabytes, and then gigabytes, and terabytes, and goes on and on. So we're almost obsessed with memory. But we also tend to take memory for granted, don't we? Until we have a problem with it. It's like, what was that? Happens all the time. Our memories may be impaired or faulty or, in some cases, fabulous. There aren't as many of those. But memory is assumed, just a part of life. The Bible assumes it as well, and not infrequently refers to it and encourages it. And there's a passage that we should be familiar with. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Very simple little verse, but pretty significant. But Mary kept all these things, stored them in her memory. That gave her a reservoir from which to be able to think about and contemplate. We also have all of these different memories. We've had more time to amass all of these things. And so, which memories are the ones that we associate with this season, and which of those are legitimate ones, those that we are sure that we want to pass on from generation to generation. Now, there's a lot of interesting, exciting things out there, but how much can we carry with us, and how much should we focus on? Well, I don't have time to go into great detail, but let me just give you a really quick sketch. Understand the nature of memory. First of all, there is a storage factor, which we are well aware of. We live in a day of storage units. They're everywhere. We're kind of hoping that our brains are going to function that way. We store our memories every day. If you think about it, the brain is incredible in its ability to do what it does. It's composed of 100 billion neurons, which is hard to even imagine. It composes 2% of the mass of the body and uses 20% of your energy. Now, some of you are thinking, I know people that don't use that much energy. Probably should. There are more neurological connections in your brain than there are stars in the universe, I'm told, which is staggering. And your brain makes about 5 trillion decisions per second. Most of our decisions, obviously, are unconscious. It's no wonder we get headaches when you got that much going on, or at least hopefully. And a thought is a result of neurons firing together and involves being wired together via neurotransmitters. And so memory is a stored thought. All of that, it's hard to imagine that all that goes on. And some things are more noteworthy than others, as far as something we may want to remember. You may remember, hopefully, the account back in Joshua where they were going across the Jordan River to enter the land. And we read these words, that this may be a sign to you, just taking the stones out from the middle of the Jordan River when it was dry ground as they went through. This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel. This is something that I want you to remember. This is important. This is something significant. The bottom line of what this is saying is, look what God did. Don't ever forget. Look what God did. That's what this is about. There are some things that are meant to be memorialized. There are other things that are mundane, that aren't that critical, like which socks did you wear on Thursday? I don't care. We don't need to know. It's also interesting to think about the fact that celebrating Christmas is not commanded in Scripture. It's not noted. It wasn't even done for the first 300 years. It wasn't until later when there seemed to be some reason to do so. But if we are going to celebrate it, we want to make sure that we're doing so in a way that is consistent with Scripture, and that there may be some things that are outside of the parameters that are just part of culture. I need to recognize those as well. And then there are some things that make deep etches on our memories. There are some good things. That's why we get so excited about the Christmas season, because we have so many memories that are tied to it. Not all of them are associated with the incarnation of Christ. There are other things as well, but they make an impact. And that can be a good thing. I remember when I was a kid, at the end of the service of church, we got a little bag of candy. Well, no, it was a bag of some nuts, an orange, and some hard candies. Do you remember that? We don't do that anymore. Now we come up with other stuff. I remember that. It made an impression on me. But then there are some unexplainable tragedies, such as what happened in Colorado, Oregon, Connecticut, all of these things, and you wonder, what in the world is going on, and how in the world are these children going to function in life after what they've been through? It is such an impression that has been made on them that they are talking about not having school at that facility anymore because of the associations. It's interesting to think about that. So which things should we celebrate and why ought to be a question. Then there is a retrieval factor, finding and using data. This is not a surprise to you. We have different levels of memory capacity. You have someone like Stephen Hawking, who since age 20 has suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, who's a British theoretical physicist and a cosmologist, whom I am told, he's not able to speak anymore. He speaks through a speech synthesizer. But at some point he was dictating some notes to his secretary, and he was working through about 40 pages, and at one point he said, wait, go back about 27 pages. There's an equation that I need to correct. I can't even fathom that. Most of us have average memories, and then some have terrible memories. And if you're one of those, I'm sorry, but I'm counting on you not remembering that I brought it up. And we do have the ability to develop it. And that's part of the reason why we have the Awana program, so that we can develop that. And as we all know, we do have the potential of losing it. And you can read that however you want to, the losing it part of it. It can come from the habitual non-use of it. It can come from normal degeneration, which we don't really like to think about. It can come from debilitating disease. It's a matter of, I know it's in there, but I can't find it. I can't retrieve it. Then there is an analysis factor. Interpreting the data that's there. We have a need to compare multiple experiences and data. It's part of understanding life. It's making sense of life, seeing the bigger picture, seeing how things fit together. We have a need to process information and experience. And in order to do that, we need to be able to put information together and see it in some form of context. And that is a large part of what has gone wrong in our nation is that we have lost the context. We are not looking back anymore. We don't want to see back. We are just wanting to look to the future. We are living in the eternal present, and that is a bit of a problem. So to forget the past is to be somewhat adrift at sea, without a compass, without an anchor, without even a clear view of where it is that you're wanting to go. And that's where a lot of folks are today. And so they can't see Christmas in the light of the roots of it. What was it intended to be? Realizing that there is a secular element and a Christian element to it, obviously. And even the idea of God is lost. There's no context. So then consider the call to remember. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Remember the days of old. Sometimes we can remember those, but we can't remember yesterday. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. There are some things that are important enough to carry on, to communicate. What are those things, is the question. We may call on others to remember. For collaboration of effort. Remember our appointment. That is, don't forget it. For perspective. Remember the Alamo. That is, don't forget that event. It has significance. It gives you perspective when you think about that. Or for nostalgia or enjoyment. Remember when we did this, that, or the other thing? Or for provision. Nehemiah 5:19 says, remember me, O God, for good. Provide for my need. Or Paul in Colossians 4:18 says, remember my chains. Pray for me. Or we may be asking God to remember, like Psalm 25:6 says, remember me, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Remember those. Or we may be called on to remember by others. Remember to pick up the milk from the store on your way home. Remember, it's cold out. Take a jacket. Or we're reminded by God's spokesman. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." The idea is, look what God did. Look what God did. Deuteronomy 9:7, "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness, so therefore shape up." Or Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Even when you're old, you need to remember that. Or in some official capacity, whether it be in a courtroom or a classroom or at work, there are expectations, things that you are called on to remember. And I like the one, "Hi, I can't remember your name either." Then recognize the reason to remember. What is the reason for the season? Or what was it, the system? I can't remember what that was. I can't remember. See, there's that problem of remembering. "Now when they had seen him," looking back to Luke 2, "now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child." A few quick observations on this. We celebrate because of the content of memories. And in this case, there was recorded observation. They had seen something. They had seen the Christ child. And they had seen the angels. This is talking about the shepherds. And they had been told certain things. And then there was practical communication. They made known these things. There was a message of significance to pass along. There are some good principles in here for us to remember as well. There were significant implications. Those things concerning this child isn't going to stay that way. He's going to grow up, and his life, where he's headed, what he's going to do is significant. Going back to verse 11, "There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This anticipated his coming. This is important content to consider. And we need to think of, okay, what is the content of the memories that we are making in our celebrations of this season? What is the nature of that? And then verses 18 through 19. "And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." We celebrate because of the power of memories to reproduce thought. They were told by the shepherds, so they remember, they were able to carry that on. To stimulate a response, they marveled because they saw the significance. Look, thinking about, okay, this is a thought, now let's see how this fits with the larger scheme of things and see how that fits together. And then to store information, as we've already mentioned, that Mary kept these things and then pondered those things to process information. How do you utilize the power of memory for good is the question that we want to contemplate. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen or had heard and seen as it was told them. Luke 2 and verse 20. We celebrate because of the value of memories. What is the value of the memories that you are making? You think back, hey, what has transpired? But what about the memories for next time, next week, next year, whatever it may be? Do we use those to direct praise to God? Because that's what they did. Glorifying and praising God because of all that they had seen and heard, or heard and seen. To recall and process the significance of something. It meant something. There was significance. What is the significance of that which we celebrate? And then to respond personally or corporately. We were responding as we were gathered here today with the music and all of the sharing of the scripture and thinking about what had transpired. Do we appreciate the value of those things? So what kind of memories are we making? Every day we're making memories. It's part of life. Every day we are building on memories. And there are sometimes when you hear stories of people who have gone to a mission who are out on the street and they're ruining their lives in some way, and they find themselves homeless and coming to a gospel mission, and they hear a song that's sung that brings back memories from their childhood, and it brings them to a place of then responding to Christ because the memories that were there. What kind of memories are we making? What are we actually celebrating? Just the economics of the season? Do we know why we're celebrating? Is it edifying? Is it valuable? Is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it insightful? Is the how consistent with the why? That's a good question. Remember the most important aspect. And realizing that the celebration of Christmas is complicated by all the different elements and part of it. Those things that have accumulated over time. Some of it is cultural and just fun, and some of it is serious and significant. We want to capitalize on that which is the critical element, as communicated by John in John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It really comes down to, look what God did. Look what God did. Not just look what we can do, but look what God did. Do we remember that? That's something to think about. Something to remember as we celebrate this season.